Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to BS Talk, episode 111, to sum it up. Herb, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing, Cam?
I'm doing well. Man, we got a big show ahead of us because we got a lot of things to get to. NBA has been popping off, especially since free agency opened up. NFL with, you know, people gambling and then some Twitter beef going on. And I mean, there is a lot to get to for sports being in the off season because there's just baseball going on. There's just drama left and right. But before we get to all that, we got to update the Twitter polls, right? We got to hit them up. Where can they find our Twitter polls, Irv?
They can find our Twitter polls and our IG account are both the same handle. That is at @BS_IrvinCam. That is at @BS_IrvinCam. Both the Twitter handle and the IG handle.
All right. Who will have a bigger impact on the new team coming 23-24 season? Will it be Bradley Beal, Marcus Smart, Kristaps Porzingis, or Chris Paul? That came back 60%. Bradley Beal. I don't know. Because, I mean, bigger impact.
Weigh in. Give us your pick out of that list that we generated. Give me your pick. Who it is?
I think Marcus Smart's gonna have the biggest impact because if you're talking about on court and in locker room, because that locker room is something else over there in Memphis right now. I think Marcus Smart's gonna have the biggest impact. Bradley Beal is showing up and he's gonna do his thing, but as for impacting that team, I mean, it could go one way or the other. And then Kristaps Porzingis is like, hey, here's your role. This is what we need you to do. Don't screw it up. Don't screw this up. So Marcus Smart, I think he's got a bigger role and bigger impact he's got to make over there because he doesn't have to be the number one shooter or anything, but he has to keep some young bloods, as I call them, in line. You know, keep them in line and be that veteran presence and like keep that kind of and keep his on court stuff going as well. I just think Marcus Smart will have the bigger impact on a new team or has the most potential to have the biggest impact. I don't know.
I agree with you because I'm like, Chris Paul, it's not your team. It's Steph, Clay, Draymond's team. And clearly they just paid Draymond to come on back. So you're there as a role player. Obviously, they want you to be a good locker room presence. As for Bradley Beal, I got too many questions for the Suns. Like, who's going to be the dog in the end of the game to take the last shot? Is it going to be the hot man? Is it going to be a set play? How are you going to run offense? How much are you willing to sacrifice? Because you're going to have to sacrifice.
That should be a Twitter poll for us. Is who do you think gets the last shot at the end of the game for Suns? Bradley Beal, Durant, or Booker, or campaign? I'm sorry, I had to do it.
I was thinking DeAndre Ayton.
Like I said, campaign. nothing against you, Cam. It's just, you know, those three, we all know those three are something else. With that being said, should the Lakers run it back with the same guys from their playoff run or look to make some moves on this offseason? Check out the latest episode. 62% said no. Add some new pieces. I mean, they already did, so I have to agree upon that too. If you run it back with the same thing and it didn't work, what makes you think it's going to work again? Because players get healthy? I don't know.
Continuity, like, chemistry, you know, the other things got to be built into it. But at the end of the day,
the Kings can like do you said, that right
more, can they really? Do they really do the right thing? Because they got beat by the Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors only by a couple possessions. Only by a couple possessions there.
I'll give you that.
Curry had something else.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't say a couple positions. You said positions or possessions? I'm sorry.
Possessions.
Yes, possessions. Yeah, you're correct in that aspect. Yes, possessions. But I feel like they needed to do a little bit more. I feel like the Kings had to get maybe another defensive guard, like a true defensive type guard, to be able to at least take 6 fouls on Curry and Clay, like something like that. Or at least chase, you know, I thought Dennis Schroeder would have been a good pickup for them for less money because he's a guy who could just run with Steph. And you just want somebody that's going to run and be on his hip.
See, my aspect, I was thinking of the big man in Denver right now. Because Sabonis can't. When Sabonis played center and he's getting bullied by what's his name over in Golden State with the center for Golden State.
Kevon Looney.
Looney was bullying Sabonis. So I think it's one of those where
I thought that was Draymond bullying Sabonis.
That too, but you know, I think they need to look for a not a starting center, but a backup center where, you know, a bigger body that can come in there and, like, you know, kind of what Tristan Thomas did in the finals. It came in there and just was a started like a bowling ball. just start putting a body on him and start hitting people around. So that's what I was hoping. I know they had Len that went somewhere else, but honestly, when Len was in there, he wasn't that good. So
they also gave up their backup center already to the Mavs.
Yeah,
they traded him already with Rashard Holmes. So
I would go, for me, I saw Mason Plumlee still out there. I think he would be a good, you know, backup center, big guy coming off the bench. We'll
athletic.
See. That's just my sake for the Kings. We'll see what they do there. But enough about the Kings. That's the Twitter polls. Again, you can find those at on Twitter, and our IG is BS_IrvinCam. Irv, hit us with the next topic.
All right. Wait, you don't want to do MLB, NHL?
Oh, no, yeah, I'll do MLB. Sorry. I didn't see that.
I was going to say, I'm cool with it, but, it, you know.
I mean, the only thing I'll update on everybody on the MLB this week is two things I'll do. Miami Marlins are 13 games over 500. They're doing something else over there. Unfortunately, they're in the same like division as the Atlanta Braves, who are just red hot, awesome team as well. But Miami Marlins are a big surprise. Now, on the other surprising team that's not doing well, let's talk about the New York Mets. The New York Metropolitans. Metropolitans. I see. There it is. If you're the owner and you invest, I don't know, $262 million in a team, and you're the next closest team's the New York Yankees at 183. That's the 26-man roster, not the total payroll. That's just the roster. Basically almost $100 million more you're paying your players on that team, and you're 18 games out of first place. I don't think that owner's too happy. I believe that it's coming down to where the trade deadline's, like the halfway point's coming, the trade deadline's right around the corner. I think the Mets are going to be some sellers here and start getting rid of some players on their team. They did not do it. This just proves right here, you cannot pay to for your team to be good. You can't pay for this, your team to just go to the World Series every year. If you look at let's take the four top teams that are on the payroll. New York Mets, number one, they're 18 games out of first place for their division. New York Yankees are 10 games out of first place for their division. Padres, they're 11 games out of first place in their division. And then you take the Phillies as well. The Phillies are 11 games out of first place. The Dodgers are the closest to first place, being two games out of their division. And then even the Angels, I don't want to talk about that. We'll skip that one.
No, what you mean? I'm showing you out there putting in work. Shohei.
Six games out of first place.
Show. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Six games. That's the top six. Then we'll go seven. Blue Jays, they are 11 games out of the first place position. And then finally, the eighth team in the highest payroll, the eighth team is in first place, and that's the Atlanta Braves. And they're in first place in their division by seven games. So the top seven teams are all paying a bunch of money to lose and not make the playoffs or anything. It's just crazy to think about. And then you look at the lower end, you have like the Rays who are on the lower end. They're I believe, in first place right now. Yeah, they're in first place by six games. It's just crazy to see, like, this shows you cannot, in baseball, you might pay all these players a bunch of money, but does not mean you're going to be good. So that's what I want to kind of update everybody on. Check that out. The top seven teams' payrolls, none of them are making the playoffs right now, and they're all pretty far behind first place as well. So, all right, Irv, no NHL updates. Hit us with the next topic.
All right, so we're going to move into the NBA. We're going to be here for quite some time, everybody. So put your NBA hats on. All right, so first topic we want to discuss. James Harden opts into his contract and is working with the 76ers to find a new home via trade. Now, we got two teams that media-wise have been posted, or not been posted, but have been expressing interest, or the media has said, the sports media has said, he could go to, one being the Clippers, one being the New York Nets. Cam, give me your front runners for, out of those two teams, the Clippers and Knicks, who should be fighting for James Harden, who should really be trying to make a trade for James.
I mean,
just those two. He's been linked to a bunch of other teams. We're just going to keep it with these two, since that's the two that everyone keeps saying. It's either the Clippers or the New York Knicks have expressed the most interest.
I'm trying to look up right now. I'm not lying to anybody. I'm trying to look up the Knicks point guard situation.
Knicks? Jalen Brunson is Emmanuel Quigley.
Is he the point guard?
Jalen
Brunson is the shooting guard.
Has been a constant rotation.
Oh, they still have R.J. Barrett.
But R.J. Barrett is a small forward. So remember in the playoffs, they played like Quentin Grimes, Josh Hart. It was between them rotating at that shooting guard spot. And then R.J. Barrett was a small forward. Obviously, we know Julius Randle, power forward, and Mitchell Robinson, the center. They have Isaiah Hartenstein. They've brought up a bunch of those young guys' names, like Hartenstein, Emmanuel Quickly. That New York has a better package and picks, more picks than the Clippers do. But the package is really consistent of picks, better players than it is players. The Clippers would have potentially better players with like Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, the expiring contracts of like Covington and Marcus Morris Sr. And I think they have like one or two picks, but like further down the line, I want to say like 2016s and 2017s and 2018s that they could give them. So just think about it real quick. Offensive wise, defensive wise, head coach, what team would be the better team for him to go to and thrive to? I know we just stand out of these two. There's plenty of teams James Harden could be dropped into. These are just the two that are making a noise. Okay, Clippers. So why the Clippers? Why the Clippers?
Because of the coach over at the Knicks.
Tibbs?
That's all I needed right there. I think the better fit would be for the Clippers and not the Knicks, with how James Harden, he's not at that age of that ripe age of like 26, 27. He's older in his career now. And you know, Tibbs is eight man rotation all season long.
He couldn't do it to James. So, I know he got away with it with Evan Fournier, but like, you ain't finna put James on the bench for more than 10 minutes to get a rest, bro, or 8 to 5 minutes, whatever it is, you know, incrementations for rest per game. He ain't finna get a DMP, coach's DMP. So, ain't happening, Tibbs. You'll be out that building before he will be.
I think for James's aspect, I think he goes to, I think he prefers the Clippers. And I think the Clippers would be better fit, culture wise and everything else. But if you're Philadelphia, I want the picks. I don't care about those players over the Clippers that they send over. I want the picks. And who can give me the most picks? It's going to be the Knicks. So, those players aren't that bad that you'd get back either. But I think the Sixers would want to change them to the Knicks before the Clippers. But those are the two aspects. What's your opinion, Irv, on everything about that James Harden?
I'm going to piggyback off of you a little bit, because I think the Clippers are if you're the 76ers, you don't want to see a James Harden in the playoffs. So I wouldn't trade him to the Knicks, even though the Knicks might have a better package for picks, unless you feel like, you know, James ain't going to really do nothing for them. You know, regular season champ, playoffs, we ain't got to worry about James. He'll show up maybe one game. That's it.
Yeah.
If you have that kind of because I don't know James like that, neither do you. But like, if you feel like that as an organization that's had him for what, 2 years, then you would go, okay, we ain't worried about James like that. Go ahead and trade him to the Knicks, get the picks like you talked about. But thriving with the Clippers, I think he would be able to go to the Clippers and give them that point guard that I don't think they want a floor general. I'm going to be real with you. I think they want a guy who could just facilitate and get the ball to PG and Kawhi in different spots. I don't really think they want a floor general who can, you know, master the floor and get guys in certain spots. Cause like, it just, you let Chris Paul kind of, you know, go off, and you could have maybe took a shot at him. You let some other point guards kind of go that, you know, might have been more of a floor general type. So to me, I'm just, when I look at it, I say James Harden would thrive there as the point guard. You don't have to move positions for, if you can keep, I should say, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, because potentially one of them would have to go. I've seen Paul George's name a lot in trades, like everywhere.
Yeah.
76ers, Blazers, New York, And I think New York would be a good spot for him because he would be with a coach who's already defensive-minded, and what they really want is a shooting guard who can just go get a bucket. They want three guys out there who can go just go get buckets because they really don't run that kind of offense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they have sets, but not they're not really an offensive game team like that. They're really a defensive-minded team. But I think the Clippers are his best bet. I think Kawhi would be would flourish with him. I think PG would flourish with him just because the ball would be out of their hands. He could just be a point guard. So you have, you know, you'd be top heavy though. So Zubac got to be a, for real, they'd be top heavy. All those guards?
I mean, there's just a pun in there with James Harden.
I'm seeing, you talking about, I told you, what did I call him? Fat Harden? Big Harden? Chunky Harden? Chunky Harden still went out and got 44, 10, and 11. Don't play with Chunky Harden either.
But you said top heavy. You said top heavy.
Yeah, because they would be at the backcourt. At the backcourt position, they would be. They got, you got Harden, Paul George, and you got Kawhi. Then after that, who do you have? You got to go down the list. Zubat is the only other the center. Hey, Mason Plumlee, said, is gone.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I know what you're saying. I'm trying not to make fun of the man's weight because the man got in great shape. Listen,
he looks in great shape. I mean, I know when I'm chunky. I call it like I see it. I'm chunky.
I think the Clippers would be a better fit for him, and he's a Cali dude, so I think he'd be more comfortable being around this coast, staying on this coast.
Is he really a Cali dude? Is he from?
Yeah, he went to Fairfax.
Oh, I did not know that.
I think it was Fairfax High School. Yeah. All
right. Yeah,
I'll look it up. You don't need to be knowing, bro. You don't know where all these dudes trying to come back to the crib. I don't know if he's going to like the taxes for California, but, you know, each one is different. Everybody different.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that'd be the best place for him in regards to, like, coming home and feeling more comfortable. Yeah. Went to Arizona State. Remember he didn't have no
beard? I know he went to Arizona State. I did not know he was from Los Angeles at all. He didn't give me Los Angeles vibes. He gave me, like, Texas vibes.
Because he was in Texas for so long. He gave me Cali vibes. Well, I'm done with this one. Are you good? Because we already talked about the two spots. He opted in, so he's obviously trying to work with the 76ers to go somewhere. Those are the two teams that have popped up, but let's not be surprised if somebody come out of nowhere. James Harden ends up with the Phoenix Suns. So it'd be James Harden.
He would know. How are you making Bill. That trade? There's no way they're James making that trade.
Bradley Beal. I don't know.
There is literally no possible way.
James Jones and Isaiah Thomas get on the phone together. They call over there. They say, "We know you don't want James. We'll send you DeAndre Ayton." And they'll go, We already got Joel Embiid. We'll send you DeAndre Ayton. What's the other dude name? Torrey Craig. They just start putting people together. We'll send you all half our roster in that regard. But these four, or I should say these three, are protected. They might do that. They might get a three-team trade. You might get another team involved. You know what I mean? So it ain't always out the question. It's just like, what do you have to do to get this dude? How far are you willing to go?
Because I'm like, I'm on the... I would try to see how they...
No, don't do that. We got other topics we got to go to.
I guess a DeAndre Ayton would be... That would be the only way, I think. If you don't,
they'd have to do a three-team trade. It's no way they're gonna just trade up straight up for two centers and leave Nick Nurse in that kind of boat where he got nothing but centers and no guards but Tyrese Maxey, who they didn't extend, which I feel like is
they got
he gonna get paid next summer. I feel like they're like, hey, we're not gonna sign you, we're not gonna give you an extension now, we're gonna give you an extension next year, just play well. And your money's right there at the door. We got to make some different moves right now. I think they just wait. But I think he'll get signed to the 76ers next year.
Well, the reason they want to wait on that is because if he makes an all-NBA team, he gets more money.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I think the team is not like, hurry up and sign this. Hurry up and get this money. Here's 5 years, $200 million, 5 years, $180 or something like that. Just they're taking their time. They're going to see where the books are at, and then they can make an offer to him to keep him. If he has another good season this coming season.
All right, Irv.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
All right. So we really, I'll say it. I got you because like I wrote these questions prior to everything happening, like a little Woj bomb is dropping on folks.
Well,
so,
no, I kept interrupting you there because I was trying to tell you, go ahead. But I kept just, I screwed that up. Sorry, you go right ahead.
No. I just want you to know, like, so the question is, what is Kyrie Irving doing with his pending free agency? Kyrie's not a free agent. He signed back with the Mavs for 3 years, $126 million. Cam, give me your thoughts on him going back to the Mavs.
Dude, this is what really frustrates me about Kyrie. Okay, Kyrie, nobody else was going to sign you. Like, nobody else was going to sign you, especially for the money you wanted to get. Nobody else, like, you could be like, I could have took vet minimum. You're not taking vet minimum. We all know you're not going to take vet minimum. So we all knew you're going to sign with the Maverick skin. What you did was wanted to put yourself in the media. Let me just go see what the Suns have to offer. You just want the media to look at you once again. I'm tired of this, man. Like, everybody knew. If you understood basketball from the general manager aspect, you know that Kyrie was going back to the Mavericks from day one. Yeah, go ahead. If I was Mark Cuban, yeah, go ahead. Go flirt with the Suns. Go flirt with the Suns, because I know what's going to happen there. They're going to tell you, hey, we can give you vet minimum. Or a sign and trade with Ayton. But nobody, like, I don't even think they want to do a sign and trade for Ayton. So at the end of the day, you're meeting with the Suns about vet minimum, $2 million, instead of, what do you get, $40 million a year?
Yeah, around there.
Three so years, you're going to give up 30, you're going to give up $38 million? Nah, you're going back to the Mavs. And everybody knew it. So that's all I got to say.
I did. I'll be honest, I didn't know it. I'm going to be really? Honest with you.
How do you he like, just, where else he does just he go?
He's a wild dude sometimes.
$38 million, you're not giving up.
listen to me. Just listen to me. I'm not trying to make a case. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand what I was thinking. He just do whatever he want to do, Cam.
You know that.
He just do whatever. So we all like, oh, he going back. Everybody know it. And all of a sudden, he's just like, you know what? Y'all all say I'm going back. I ain't going back. I'm going over here for this much money. And you're just like, why? Doesn't make sense.
Because
you're
leaving 38.
I'm telling you, I thought there was a possibility he could just wild out. He's a very bright guy. He's a very smart dude. But he does not like, as we see, when the media get in his business and they start telling him what he's doing, what he's not doing. That's Kyrie don't play with that. He will go left real quick. So that's why I'm like, hold on. I kind of want to wait and see what he does. I know we're talking numbers, Cam. I get that. Logically, I get it. No other team. I got it. But for me, I was like,
I'll be eating my licorice over here because
that licorice is old. That
some good licorice right here.
I didn't say it was bad licorice. I'm saying it looked like it was old. Like, you were looking like you were struggling.
I am old.
but I didn't know what Kyrie was doing. I'm interested to see on the back end what they're going to do, because now teams are signing people real quick. You know, signing trades are going down. What can the Mavs put together on the defensive end to help this team? Could they bring back Dorian Finney-Smith? Is his contract where they can go get him again back from the Nets, or is it expired? And that's just a name I'm throwing out there. Can they go get Marcus Morris Sr.? Is there something the Clippers willing to dump to get help with salary cap to say, hey, come over here? Or they already had his brother last year. Are they going to re-sign Markieff? So it's just different things. I'm interested to see what they're going to do on that back end of it to help this team be better defensively and give Jason Kidd a chance to not just coach offensively, because, like, he'll put the game plan together, but really be able to have this team playing on the same accord defensively. So I'm interested in that. But, yeah, Kyrie going back, got his bag, or somewhat of his bag.
I thought they brought somebody in. They brought Seth Curry as well in the Mavericks.
Yeah, but that's a shooter.
Yeah,
that's a shooter.
I know that they're gonna bring a shooter off the bench in.
We talk about this all the time. Like, I get it. You got to get to the 100-somethings to be able to compete in the NBA now offensively. But a lot of the teams we see winning championships or even going to the playoffs have defense, like a strong defensive personality. Now, they're not stopping nobody from reaching the 100s, but they ingrained in defensive rebounding. They ingrained in perimeter defense, zone defense concepts, man-to-man and zone defense, depending on who the person is. These teams that continuously try and just be straight offensive juggernauts to just run up the score like the Suns did back in the day, or the Rockets did, aka all the D'Antoni teams, they just not built to win when it counts. They built to look good. They built to have these cool records and go into the playoffs. But when you get into a half-court team or a team that's defensively set and understands what they're doing, has a good identity, they getting bounced. So for me, getting him was great for like offensive purposes, but like you need somebody on the defensive end. Seth Curry is not finna lock nobody up. Luka not locking nobody up. You can't put all that on Reggie Bullock. You can't say, hey, we're gonna have you starting as a small forward. Yeah, you got the best guy night in and night out. By the way, you have no help on the back end defensively. There's no one else over here that's going to do it. You got it all.
Christian Wood hasn't even signed up either or re-signed with them.
And that could be something else too. But he was an offensive guy too. We really wasn't talking about Christian Wood defensively. We was talking about what he brings to the table coming off the bench offensively.
Yeah, I don't know defensively what Mavericks are going to do because they still have Tim Hardaway Jr., Seth Curry, and they, like you said, they have Reggie Bullock, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they got to put a team together. They got to – offensively, I ain't saying they're going to be bums. No. They're definitely going to be good offensively, especially since they're going to be shooting so many threes. But defensively, like, what if your three's not dropping? And what are you and you, if they are dropping, can you stop the other team from scoring? Because at some point, they're going to be able to stop you. The Western Conference got defensive teams. The Lakers, the Kings can play good defense. So can the Warriors. Like, you're going to run into some of these teams that are just, you know, they're not going to be playing around defensively.
Yeah. They're playing.
You ready for the – yep. Yeah, you might be right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
So, we put this on here. Can Portland just trade Dame already? Thank you, Dame, for going to request a trade, because I was going to put this on Portland and be like, Portland, you already know what y'all trying to do. Just get him up out of there. Get whatever you can. For Dame, stop with the whole we gonna pair him and Scoot together. We pairing this guy and it. No, you're not. You knew you wanted to roll with Scoot and Anthony Simons at the guard spots. I don't even know who's gonna come back and play the small forward, whether it's Jeremy Grant or if he gonna play power forward. Is Yusuf Nurkic? Are you finally gonna live up to what you said years ago when you said if Dame is gone, I'm gone because I need to see you jump up in here like you a college student in the portal. I need to go see you go request a trade.
That's a good metaphor here.
I'm just saying. I just need to see if he could go request a trade too because Dame is out and we already know some destinations for Dame. Ain't nobody said nothing about you. So, Cam, Dame has finally entered the trade. He's went in, talked to the GM. I like to go ahead and get traded. Do you think Miami goes ahead, slides that package under the door, Pat Riley picked that phone up and said, you already know what it's about? Go ahead and hit the button. Okay. So we're going to, because I think he's going to Miami too. We're saying he's out. He's going to Miami already. He's out on the boat.
I don't think he's going to the Nets. I think he goes to Miami. And I think
they send a yacht or a plane for him.
They're sending a plane. And then he'll be on a yacht afterwards. They're sending a plane and then he gets a yacht afterwards. But I think Hero Robinson.
Oladipo's already gone.
He traded him so quickly. Where did he go? I saw that they traded
him. OKC, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back to OKC.
Did you try to get some OKC picks?
OKC said you hurt. Hey, come over here, rehab. We'll pair you with Shai Gilgeous when you get healthy. We got these young bulls that you can help. You know, get along with. Go ahead and come over here and just chill.
OKC for some cash and some sort of picks.
For picks, yeah. Yeah. OKC said we need a backup too. We need a backup two guard. I think Oladipo still got a lot left in the tank in regards to being a good veteran. I'm not saying he's going to be the same athletic, versatile Victor Oladipo we're used to from being a defender and a three-point shooter. And obviously we know the dunks, the athleticism. I think that might have run its course already. I think that's been done for a while, but I think he can still provide good offensive shooting, mid-range, three-point. He can still be a good defender, not the best defender, not even the primary defender, but he can give you good minutes, solid minutes defensively. I'll compare him to like Danny Green. I think he's still got a lot of worth in the locker room. He can give you some stuff on the court. I think that'd be good for OKC and the young guys.
So I think Dame, I think Dame's going to go to Miami. I'll be interested to see who they trade, the trade package for that. Cause is it going to be Lowry, Hero, Robinson, one of those three or two of those three? I don't think they're going to want Lowry. So I think he's going to have to stay.
I think he'll go. Yeah. I think he'll go. Cause think about it. You get like Scoot Henderson's going to need a vet. So Lowry, if they get Lowry, they can talk to him about, hey, look, obviously, you know about Scoot. That's who we going to roll with. Can you back him up? Can you do the things a veteran point guard at your stage of your career would be willing to do for a young guy, help him grow up and mature, be there for him.
Yeah.
Or if you still feel like you a starter, you want to get starter minutes, you're not shooting for a championship, let's talk about you leaving, or let's talk about a role for you up to a certain point, and it would look to trade you again or release you, get you in the buyout market. But I think he has to go. I think he'll have to go with him.
So a couple things here. a couple things. So once you bring Dame on, you'll have Butler and Dame that are the same age, about 33, 34. You sure. have them about the same number of years left on their contract. So even if it doesn't work out, their contracts expire at the same time. And they probably be, you know, with 1 year left, they'll probably try to trade them. And then whatever team they trade them to, they'll just probably buy them out. An example of that is like what we did with Westbrook, where we traded him to the Jazz, and Jazz just bought him out and he went on his way. And he signed with the Clippers. So that's another option. It's one of those things where it's like Miami. I think he's going to Miami. This is the last kind of big push for Miami. They've been to the finals, but never over that next hump of winning it. So, yeah, be prepared to see the big three over there is going to be Butler, Dame, and Bam. We'll see who else follows in line. I know they just brought back Kevin Love, so he's coming back on their team. He'll be coming off the bench. Same with Josh Richardson. But
I don't think they come off the bench. I think Josh Richardson goes right back to the starting lineup because he's
yeah.
Now I think he goes right back because you got a defensive guard who can shoot the three. He can create a little bit, like from what he's been allowed to do with like the Spurs, seeing him there. I forgot where he was previous to the Spurs though.
The Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics. Thank you, Cam. He was able to do a little bit of everything with them.
He's a journeyman.
After the Heat,
Sixers, Mavericks.
He started with Philly.
No, he started with the Heat. And then he started with the Heat, went to Philly because I think he was part of that trade for Jimmy Butler in 2019.
You're right.
So
you are right.
Then he went to Philly, then he went to the Mavericks, then he went to the Spurs, because I'm reading right now. And Celtics, and then Pelicans, and then Spurs again. So he's a journeyman, and then I have a feeling like we don't know who else is going to be there. Caleb Martin, Robinson, Hero, Lowry.
He's got to stay.
Are they going to ask for Jokic? I might have said that wrong. Jokic. Oh, forget it. I'm sorry.
We got it. We know what you're talking about. Stop. Just go ahead.
And then are they going to try to take Highsmith as well? So it's just like those you don't know about. Besides Bam and Butler, who's going to be there? Because I don't think he's trading Bam or Butler to get Dame, but that'd be pointless.
I think picks, Hero, Duncan, those two dudes and picks, I think that should be enough.
You said Lowry earlier.
I think Lowry will go over, but I think Lowry will go over because like Duncan's what, like 80 million? Tyler Hero got that big old contract.
Well, you got to this year.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm trying to compare. I'm saying they both have significantly larger contracts that you pair together. Is that enough for Dame? If not, you throw in Lowry and picks, and then Kyle has a decision to make because the Blazers are not going to start Scoot. Scoot going to start regardless. Whether he has a bad summer league or not, they're going to see what he's about and how he's built. So he's going to be their guy going forward. It's just about, can you get a veteran with him? Or do you need a veteran with him to help, you know, his maturity, help push him along in the game? Information-wise, it'll be interesting to see. I think Kyle will go. I think Kyle will have to go for numbers if they don't want to trade too many more picks. But on the same token, the Blazers might say, hey, we want more picks and less cash or something else. But I think that deal will get done.
I forgot that their rookie that he's got too, Jaime from UCLA.
Yeah, they definitely keeping a rookie.
I think I think that's a steal in the draft. He's a hard worker, man.
So I think what'll happen is you'll have, just real quick, you'll have Dame at the point guard. You'll have Josh Richardson at the shooting guard. You'll have, obviously, Jimmy Butler. Kevin Love will start because Kevin Love mixed in with a little bit of Hightower or a little bit of Caleb Martin, who's played it before. You can rotate that four spot. Bam will keep at the five. They'll keep the big center kid who could play the power forward and center. They'll get him mature. But they still have Yusuf. I forgot his full name. He broke his foot this last year and came back. He's a very good backup center. So I think that other guy, the Jokic or Jokovic.
Omer Yosef. Yeah, he's a free agent still.
Yeah, I think he'll come back. I think they'll get him back again. And I think they'll have a good team next year too. With this addition, I think this can get them over the hump. I think this makes them better than Boston. I shouldn't say better than Boston, but competitive with Boston. I think if James Harden obviously is going to leave Philly, that this puts them, I think they're better than Philly. So I put them, they should at least stay around the top three teams, if not top four teams in the Eastern Conference all year long. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, don't forget they just made a trade for, what's his name? The Cavaliers. Max.
Oh, Max Strus. Yeah, he signed the trade.
So,
yeah,
signed for. So they got Osman from the Cavs.
Oh, there. Okay.
And then they also got what's his name? Lamar Stevens.
They're gonna be straight. The Heat gonna be fine because those are two role players.
Unless that was a three. I'm an idiot. I just exited out of it. I'm not sure if it's a three team trade or not now.
This guy. So this guy here.
Yeah, but anyhow, Dame going to the Heat. Where else would you have him going? Irv?
Cedi Osman and Lamar Stevens and a second round pick to the San Antonio Spurs. And Cleveland, Cleveland will send a second round pick to the Miami Heat. There you go.
Okay. Where else did you have Dame going?
Honestly, I think the Heat were the only other teams I had him going to, because I think that them and Brooklyn were the only two that kept getting more and more publicity about like wanting him. There was no other teams that really said, because like we could always vouch for the Lakers, we could always vouch for the Clippers, not vouch for, we could always say the Lakers, the Clippers, you know, the teams around there. Yeah. You would even hear stuff about Milwaukee, like would Milwaukee be willing to part ways with certain players? But I don't think those teams would be willing to give up everything everyone would ask for in order to get Dame, because then on the back end, you know who your starters are, but you have no depth. So it's like everybody keeps saying, are you willing to get Dame to sacrifice your depth? There's only a few teams that would be able to sacrifice their depth and still stay competitive.
Honestly, Brooklyn has players and they have picks to give up too. Because if
you think they come out of nowhere?
If you can get rid of Ben Simmons and picks Ben Simmons and let's just
say, oh my bad, bro. I'm saying the laugh at heart.
Or Dinwiddie? Like
if I you like can get Spencer off Dinwiddie. Bro, I like Spencer Dinwiddie. He cold. Yeah,
but if you can get off that Ben Simmons contract with some picks too, I mean,
yeah, bro. I see where you're going. It's hard for me to think. If you're the Nets, you gotta put your name in. Like you gotta slide a package together to see if Dan, because he'll be happy. He got a homie over here. They still got a competitive team. It's not like Brooklyn would be a bunch of bums. They would just have the star that they need. And I think him going there is the same thing as him going to the Heat. Because you still got guys like a Jimmy Butler type, Mikal Bridges. You still got Cam Johnson, another young guy who could get it done, who just got paid.
I just freaking Ben Simmons, man. Wait for that highlight video this summer. It's going to be that New York Summit.
I'm not watching New York Summit gym again. I'm not recommending nobody watch it. Nobody watch it. Don't give it no likes. Don't give it no attention. Don't even mind it. Tell them do it in the game. And then
false
we'll
advertisement.
Last summer.
False advertisement. Don't fall.
Tell them we'll watch the video when you make them in the actual game this coming season. You know what I would make him do, Cam?
It's a thirst trap.
I'd make him play in summer league. If I was in summer league, I'd be like, you got to shoot at least 10 shots in the summer league.
Yes!
In order to play in a regular season.
Yes! 100% agree with her. Get your butt out there.
As the GM, he'd be like, you could trade me for a case of beer. All right, so Cam, all this Ben Simmons talk, we need to talk about some other stuff. So notable trades, re-signs, and opt-ins to discuss, Cam. It's the last one for the NBA topics. Give me some of the notable re-signs that you saw or some opt-ins or even some trades. Give me a couple that you're like, okay, this was really good for this particular team and for what reason?
Is it crazy that I can't even remember what happened past what occurred on Friday? Like anything that happened before Friday, I just can't recall what was highly important or anything.
No, because I was excited too. The Lakers went crazy. The Lakers went crazy. I was almost in the house. I start going, that's what I'm talking about. And my little one, she goes, that's what I talk about. And I said, what? I said, that's how you know it's going to be an exciting season when the 20-month-old going crazy with you. Don't even know why she going crazy. She said, he going crazy. I'm going to go crazy. We going crazy in the house. So
I'll go crazy, a little bit more crazy, once I know we have Austin Reeves. Until then, I'm still like, hey, good job. Job not done. As Kobe would say, job's not done. Job's not finished. Job's not done. So notable. I mean, Jeremy Grant went out there, was like, hey, I'll come back to Portland. Give me some money. Give me some money.
And everyone, that money he asked for was the tune of 5 years, $160 million. So Jeremy got paid.
He got paid, but in when that contract's up, the cap, the salary cap for the teams, that's actually a friendly deal for the team as well. So good for him getting paid, this and that. Surprising one? Okay, too surprising. Well, we all knew this was coming. Fred VanVleet getting 3 years, 128 from Houston. Everybody kept saying that. Yeah, 130 kept saying that.
I'll take that $2 million off.
No, it's just 128.5, but whatever. No here or there. 130,
oh my.
We'll just go with 130 to make it easier. 130.
Oh, no, you good? Go ahead. I didn't get that money. So
it's like Houston, we all know, had the most money to spend this offseason. I just don't think he's that big of a difference maker. But maybe, I mean, these basketball professionals and what they do for a living know more than I do. But I just don't – that's why maybe it's only 3 years. I just don't see myself giving him that much, because overall, that's more money than Jeremy Grant's getting. Jeremy Grant just got 5 years. But in 3 years, like, he needs to be 32. So, I mean, good for the team getting a veteran in there. But at the same time, – I guess Fred, after that contract, could still have one more contract before his career is over, too. One more big contract. But what's your opinion on Fred's contract?
To be honest with you, I love it. For the simple fact, he is worth it. And I'll give you the reason why he's worth it. One, he was on that championship team. He was on that championship team. He did help Kawhi and them win a championship. Moving down, he took the spot, I shouldn't say he took the spot, but they moved in a different direction, went with him as a starter. He's been solid as a starter for Toronto. I think his presence in the locker room is going to be needed, because they were a very young team. I think they were around averaging like 21, 22 years old, and they didn't get any older with this draft. So you bring in a guy who's been there, won a championship, understands what needs to be done in the season to help them. You know, maybe young guys ain't taking it as serious when it comes to taking care of their body, because they're young. So they're like, I'm going to go hoop. I'm going to go chill. And Fred is going to be like, hey, man, I know you want to go chill, but maybe you should chill in ice bath. Maybe you should, eat better. Maybe you should do certain things. Like, a veteran getting in your ear that's already done it is way easier to deal with than a coach getting in your ear, because then you feel like a coach is writing you. So I think that's going to be excellent for their locker room. They also are still building around Ime Udoka, the head coach. So instead of having a bunch of young guys he has to work with, now he has Fred. He still has a young guy in Jalen. They got younger with the picks, but they're still bringing in veterans. I forgot there's somebody else who just signed to Houston that I can't remember.
They have the most money, so they still have money. They still have about, I think I told you earlier, $15 million in cap to still spend.
I can't remember where Fred or who signed with the Raptors with Houston outside of Fred VanVleet right now, but I think they're going to get better. I think his presence in the locker room is needed. I think you pay that kind of money because you expect him and with Ime Udoka to change the culture, to grow up the culture a little faster. Now, are they going to be a playoff team? Excuse me. Are they going to be a playoff team? I don't think so, but I think they'll be. I don't. I think they'll be a playing team.
I know.
Like,
they'd be a playing team.
I think they could be I think they could be like right on that cusp. I think they could be almost equivalent to OKC, where you see a whole bunch of talent, but they got to grow together. Like, I would put OKC above them because of all the stuff they went through last year with growing and development and getting guys on the same page. And they also get Chet Holmgren back. So maybe that's their unicorn. He ain't played not a game yet. We've seen him do all this other stuff.
That's the rookie of the year right there.
Yeah, second year player. Got it. all that. He could do all of that. But I put them above. I put OKC above them. But I think they could be on the cusp of being a playing game. They could be 10. They could be 9. they could be around that area to challenge somebody for a spot.
Sorry, I just got an ESPN alert. It was for the Ducks, not for NBA. So I'm good. But I saw the ESPN alert come up. I was like, oh, did Dame get traded that quickly? Not yet. Not yet.
He should have all these packages already out there. He should have been gone as soon as he went to office.
Another surprising one that just caught my eye was Indiana just being like, hey, we have money. Here you go, Bruce Brown. here's
oh, you're talking about Bruce. Oh, okay. You're talking about Bruce.
Basically, 45 mil for 2 years, and he's coming off that NBA championship. Now he's getting, like, they just literally put a bag of money in front of him. He goes, do you want to come here for 2 years? And he was like, yeah, I got a ring. I'll take the money now. Let me go get that money.
I ain't mad at him.
I did not see him making that. I didn't see any team giving that much money, but, I mean, good for Bruce. Grab that money and run. Going to Indiana.
You know where I thought you were going with that? I thought you were going because my surprise was Tyrese Halliburton. 5 years, 260. I know he got some dog in him. He got that dog and he a cold player, but 5 years, 260. Y'all really committed this time to building around him. Because they still ain't got off Miles Turner. They gave Miles Turner another contract. They didn't give Buddy Hield one, but they always keep talking about Miles Turner and Buddy Hield getting traded. So I'm like, I'm confused what the Pacers is doing right now. They got a whole bunch of young talent over there that's doing pretty well. I was just like, dang, they're really committed to this one player. Five years, 260.
If you look at all the contracts, you could kind of see what's going on here. So
yeah, talk to me.
Okay, so Tyrese Halliburton, 23 years old, five-year contract. He's 28 when that expires. And remember, I told you, in 5 years, what the cap's going to be at. So what he's going to be getting paid is going to be a little bit above the average basketball player. It's not even superstar money in 5 years. Like, that's it's like what he would be going for in 5 years is team friendly.
So it's loaded on the front end though for his pay cycle. So is he getting more in the first 2 years or more less in the first 2 years?
No, he's getting less in the last three. He's getting more in later years. So he'll get $46 million, but the fact that cap keeps increasing so much over the next couple of years, like the team salary cap increases, that it's not that big of a deal. Like he's
getting $46 million this coming year.
No. He's getting 35 and then at the end he gets 46. When he's 28, he'll get 46. But that's on top of he still has one more year of his normal contract because that's an extension.
Right.
So he still has this next year around $6 million and then 35 the following year will start. So 2024 it'll start. But they're like you mentioned, they're investing everything in Halliburton. Now what are they doing with the rest of their players? Like what's going on them? Well, Bruce Brown, I just saw this. They gave him that money. Next year is a club option. So let's just say things didn't go right this season at all. They can either trade him or they don't have to sign him back. That's $20 million up there. Miles Turner has two more years. It's 29 this year. Or is it 20 this year? Hold on. It's kind of blurry. My eyes are old. It's 20 this year, and then next year is 19. So that's fine. Buddy Yields in his last year of his contract, that's at 19. But a lot of these contracts are expiring in 1 or 2 years. So it's like, hey, let's go get a shooter really quick and see how we do. If we can make the playoffs, great. We'll keep holding the team together. If we don't make the playoffs, then let's just start trading these players at the deadline.
What year is George Karlsson in his return?
Who?
not George Karlsson. What's this dude's name? The head coach. Is it Rick?
What's his? Yeah. Go ahead. Anyhow, that's what they're doing in Indiana is kind of figuring out basically 1 or 2 years to figure it out. I think this offseason or this, I think if they're doing well at the trade deadline, they'll even take on more players. But if they're not doing well, then they'll just start trading their players away because it's one or two contracts here and there. Rick Carlisle.
That's what I was just looking it up right now. I don't know what they like. Are they really trying to be competitive? Or are they still just trying to look competitive and keep some guys and try and build? Like, I just don't know what they're trying to do because even their pick was a small forward this last year. And I'm like, y'all got a bunch. I feel like a bunch of forwards, like whether they small forwards, power forwards, y'all keep accumulating all these forwards what are y'all doing with the wing spots and the other guard spots? So I don't. Do you think Bruce Brown will come in and start?
No,
think he'll be a backup guy?
I think Buddy starts.
You think Buddy starts? You think Tyrese Buddy and then Bruce Brown's the first option off the bench combo guard wise? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they're definitely, I think it's a smart trade. If they really believe in Tyrese and he has proven to him that he's going to be a factor they can work around and build around, yeah, 5-year deal is a smart decision. Everybody else on the team, that's a question mark.
I was just confused. I was like, 260. Whoo, incentives included? Man, I guess they're hoping he'll make no all-star teams and he'll make no three-point competitions and all that other stuff. First team defense or all team, all NBA, all that stuff. Because if he do, that money going to skyrocket. What was the next one? You said you had one more.
Oh, those are the two. That kind of, well, I mean, it's been amazing.
Bruce Brown,
did you see Gabe Vincent going to the Lakers?
Did well, you see for Gabe 3 years, $33 million. I didn't have him on the radar. I was very surprised,
either.
And I was happy about that surprise. That was a good surprise. I was also happy about Cam Reddish and Rui Hachimura. So re-signing Rui to $51 million, getting Cam Reddish. I just like that we're getting younger wings, and we're getting guys who can defend and have an offensive package. And it'll be interesting to see if Cam Reddish, like, if his offensive side gets unlocked here, because like he was supposed to be he was the best out of the three coming out of college.
You really thought like Zion, the best?
Out of the three that was at Duke when it was him, RJ, and Zion.
I thought he was the third option at Duke.
He got hurt and he came back late, so he was a third option because they already was on that Zion phenom and RJ Barrett phenom. But like I never got into it. Because when I watched Cam Reddish play, I saw a better player to me because offensively, he could shoot the three, or he was an all three level scorer. He just wasn't as big as RJ Barrett was. And RJ Barrett was a better defender. So I feel like RJ got a little bit more love for being a better defender. But Cam also dropped off the map after, I think he got like a foot injury or something and came back later in that year, that freshman year. Zion was just, what can you say is Zion? The highlight reel out of everybody, just dunking on everybody. Like, dunks are going to get way more publicity than a guy who has a better offensive package. Like, when you look at him and John Morant, would you say John Morant should have been the number one guy now? You would say John Morant should have been number one pick over Zion. But when you were looking at them in the draft, everything was, look how athletic Zion is. Look how much bigger he is doing this kind of stuff. But it was like John Morant was doing the same stuff, jumping out of the gym. Better handles to me. So it was just them three there, the star power that came with the dunks, and he was missing. But yes, Cam Reddish to me was the better out of the three. Sorry, it was a long explanation. Get down to it. I hope to see a better, more flourishing, because if you watch earlier Cam Reddish, what do you say, highlights, foot film, whatever, with the Hawks, he was on. He started when he started getting into the groove, you know, he was starting to compete. He was starting to do well offensively and even defensively. They went and got Bogdanovich, and I would say kicked him out. Like, yeah, they gave him skedaddles or whatever, because he was supposed to take a bigger role. Because it would have been like him, Trae Young, and what's the other dude's name? Kevin Herter?
Yeah, Herter for the Kings. He's pretty good.
Yeah. I think those three were like subbing out. And Hunter. DeAndre Hunter, he was playing power forward, and John Collins was hurt, or somewhere else. But long story short, I'm excited about the depth they built. The one player I want to talk about just real quick, Derrick Rose to the Grizzlies. It's not a big deal.
I was looking at that right now.
Not a big. Like, it's not.
We talked about this earlier.
It's not millions of dollars. It's 2-year deal. But you see where Memphis is going. They're trying to change that culture of that locker room. They got Marcus Smart and they got Derrick Rose. Now, obviously, John Morant's gonna miss 25 games.
Yeah.
25 games. So they're obviously trying to stay competitive. Derrick Rose will get a little bit more burn. Marcus Smart is expected to start. When John Morant returns to being able to compete, to play, do you know if his suspension is he can't play and he can't be in the building, or is it he just suspended from the game?
I don't know all the details in the John Morant.
Because I'm like, if they're not around in the locker room, you know what I mean? If he's not around in the locker room, you're basically setting a new culture in the locker room with these two guys that the other guys got to fall in line with the younger guys. So when John Morant comes back, the locker room's already changed. He has to change with the locker room. he can't do the same things, because then he'll be, I wouldn't say ostracized, but he'll be the outside person, because, you know, we're not doing all that extra. It's basically what the what they're trying to do. So that's one. I like that pickup by the Grizzlies. The other one I'd have to say is Max Strus. Max Strus got 4 years, $63 million with the Cavs. The Cavs already re-signed, what's his name? Caris LeVert.
Yep.
They both fighting for the same starting minutes. They both fighting for the same spot. They both fighting for that small forward, maybe power forward role, since Seti Osman is now a Spur. So it's going to be interesting to see how Max Strus's development going along with the Cavs are. You know what I mean? Like, is he going to be someone that's considered, I don't want to say number one, but is he going to be a third option? Is he just going to be a filling guy for $64 million? Because they still got Evan Mobley, and I don't know if they're trying to move off of
Well, they also have Donovan Mitchell. Don't forget about that one.
Donovan Mitchell's number one. Like, yeah. I'm talking about, like, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, that's who going to eat. But, yeah. Like, is Max Strus expected to eat third, or is Evan Mobley going to eat third? Like, you just paid a guy for 4 years for $64 million, which is kind of a lot. It's not too crazy, but, you know, he's earned that money. But you also just paid Caris LeVert, I think, 2 years, $33 million or something like that.
So probably Caris LeVert and Max Strus. Remember, you have the small forward position still open. They don't have any small forwards on their team right now. So that's what probably they'll fill in somebody there, and then someone will come off the bench and, you know, rotate in as their sixth man. Because, like, Jared Allen's the center. Evan Mobley is the power
that's
forward.
That's who it is.
Yeah, Jared Allen's center. Evan Mobley's
you think they'll keep
forward.
Jared Allen? Because I think they want to be up. I feel like they want to be an up and down team. They want to run. And I think Jared Allen is still good for that. But I feel like they might want to move to Evan Mobley, since he's still a 7-footer, and then put somebody else who's a little more smaller but athletic at that power forward spot. You know what I mean? They want to be like a up and running.
Evan Mobley's easier to
move off of because of his rookie contract.
Yeah. Jared Allen would be a little bit tougher, but in my honest opinion, I think it's fine what they have. They have a starting five, and then you have Max Strus coming in off the bench like he did with the Heat. And then you have Ricky Rubio coming in off the bench too, as a veteran presence. So,
yeah,
I mean,
there's some depth.
You know, as much as I like last year, I had higher expectations for the Cavs last year, and they lost versus the Knicks. And it was one of those where I just like
the Knicks.
I don't know. I have high expectations for them again, but we'll see what happens.
I want to give a quick honorable mentions real quick. Honorable mention to Chris Middleton for getting that 3 years, 102. You know, we already talked about the salary cap and how that affects these guys moving forward, and it's going up. So these will probably be less of a big deal in the next couple of years, but it's still a biggish deal now. We got him, Kyle Kuzma, 4 years, $102 million. Him and young Jordan Poole just out there, 30 shots a game. Still losing. Not even playing game bound, but just happy as can be on Instagram. That's going to be a paradise for Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma, man. They finna be eating. They're gonna be like, they're the two highest points duo in the league, whatever, each averaging 30 something points or 28 points per game. What's their record? They like 10-28. But he got his bag. I'm happy for him. Last but not least is Cam Johnson, 4 years, $108 million with the Nets. So if the Nets do go after Dame, he's got another guy who could be a two-way player. He can guard 1-3, so that takes pressure off of Dame too, having to guard dudes.
And then Draymond Green going back to the Warriors for 25.
Warriors. Here it is.
Quick question, Irv. Do you know the center for the Toronto Raptors, Jacob
Poeltl?
Yeah, because he got $80 million for 4 years, and I've never heard of this player. I don't watch Toronto. I don't watch Raptor games. So
Let me break it down. So he originally got drafted by the Raptors, right? When he got drafted, him and Kyle Kuzma were teammates at Utah. They was in the Sweet 16, whatever they did. Yeah. So him and Kyle Kuzma were old teammates at Utah. He went from the Raptors to the Spurs. Now back to the Raptors.
Oh, okay.
Jakob Poeltl is, I think, his name. It's Jakob Poeltl. It's Jacob Jakob Poeltl.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. So he's, is he really worth $20
million? For what he does and the low maintenance, yes. So, like, you know how you pay a player just because they don't give you a headache? They do everything you say do. They're just a good, solid player to have on your team. You don't worry about them. That's what it is. Like, he's a shot blocker. He has a little bit of offensive game, like post game. I ain't saying you got to kick it to him in the post, let him go to work, but you know what I mean? He gets putbacks, yeah. Runs the floor pretty well, can offensive rebound and defensive rebound. Like I said, shot protector, shot blocker, rim protector, low maintenance guy, just all right. Does all the small stuff. So when you pay him, you paying him because you're like, you do what I ask you to do. You're a good player. You're solid. I'm going to keep you here because I can use you in different forms. And he has been a starter and come off the bench. So just one of those.
And then Fred VanVleet's replacement, Dennis Schroeder.
2 years, $26 million. Good for you, Dennis. Good for you. That's it, Dennis. I have nothing else for Dennis. I'm glad he came back for that second stint. But see, that's the part I got a problem with Dennis Schroeder. When he was like, I'm waiting to see what the Lakers do to, like, basically reward me for coming back. Go somewhere else. You act like it ain't other teams in this league. You was with the Celtics rocking the number 71, and they was like, ah, Dennis, we're going to send you to Houston. You went to Houston. You was almost in purgatory, basically. We helped you out. You know what I mean? We came and got you and let you ride the bus for free. True. Now you kind of talking about where you know, I'm going to see what the Lakers offer me for my second stint. We offered you Gabe Vincent. That's what we offered. Go ahead, pack your bag. Leave that number right there.
All right, go to Toronto. We talked about free agents that have been picked up. There are some notables that are still left out there. I think the most notable one that is still kind of high commodity on the market is D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo, I told you the cap space of every team now.
Wait, you said D'Lo?
Yeah.
I would challenge that maybe Kelly Oubre Jr.
Oh, okay. You can put him up there too. Anyhow. With only two teams that have positive money to spend, Houston Rockets, I think it's around 15, and then Jazz have $2 million to spend. Everybody else is in basically a negative cap room. It's going to have to be a sign and trade, but I don't know where these two players would end up going at all.
Could they take less money to go somewhere if they get bought out, or can they get bought out? Can they get released?
They can take them in. They can take the minimum. Okay. They can't be bought out. They're free agents.
Oh well, I would say they have to take them in. Sorry, my brain was somewhere else, and they would have to take them in. Like they just like if teams are already struggling to get like letting guys go so they can drop below and meet somewhat of the red or get out of the red, they're not gonna pick you up for these big old contracts, especially like D'Angelo Russell, combo guard, can get you buckets. But you're not relying on him to be your number one or number two scorer. You're like, can you come off the bench or can you be my number three? Because he's not going to defend very well. I ain't saying he's not going to give effort, but that's just not in his bag or his repertoire, his resume, is to defend. The reason why I said Kelly Oubre Jr. is because they kind of got the same shot selection. They'll just shoot, and they might not be hitting, but they're going to shoot that left-handed jumper regardless. Whether it's a three, whether it's mid-range, they're going to do it. But Kelly Oubre Jr. has the size and has the intangibles he wants to defend, and he'll go defend the best player. So that's why I put him a little higher. I could see them taking a vet mem to go to a good team, but I can't see them taking a vet mem to go to a team that's probably not even playoff bound unless they really just want minutes. They're just trying to play.
Yeah. So I mean, if they want like not minimum, they're gonna have to do a sign and trade, and that team's gonna have to agree upon a contract. Now, I don't think Russell will get, D'Lo will get his 30 mil that he had. And Oubre, I don't think he was around 12 million. I think that's respectable for him. But Westbrook's out there too. We all know he's not going to get no 46 million like he came off of, but that's a vet mid contract too. And he's still out there. Eric Gordon, Malik Beasley, Will Barton, Brooke Lopez, who I thought would have resigned with the Bucks right away. You know what I mean?
Now, that might be the hottest free agent that we ain't talking about.
Brooke Lopez with his three
seven
ball?
footer, seven footer who could shoot the three, who could rebound, who could defend. Second runner up for defensive player of the year last year. That's, I don't know why we skipped him over, but we did somehow. That might be the hottest commodity in free agency.
There's also the person that's kind of, you know, is Miles Bridges. Remember him? He had that controversy last year with domestic violence, though, correct? I don't want
Miles Bridges. Yeah, I don't know if he's gonna be available to play, and I don't know if he was supposed to get big money that year. If you remember, because he led the Hornets with like rebounding, points, blocks, all he was killing it, and this popped up on and set him back in life. So I really don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know who it's gonna really take that chance on him and give him that kind of money. Maybe Charlotte, because they, you know, kind of going through something over there with a rebuild. But it would be hard for me to see Charlotte doing that to their team with a guy you don't know if he's going to be playing or not because of his personal issues.
There's a lot of people still out there that can take, I think are going to have to take not vet minimum, but the minimum what they can require based on year, age, and everything like that to fill out these kind of rest of these teams. I mean, believe it or not, Patrick Beverley's still out there.
Ain't he asking for like $13 million per year? Yeah, he's going to be out there for a minute. Pat going to be out there for a quick second. I ain't no disrespect, Pat, but you going to be out there for a little bit.
So we'll see how the rest of these teams fill out their lineup and everything like that. But there's not, I mean, like I was telling Irv, there's not much money out there that's positive besides Houston. So I think that does it for the NBA for us until next week.
Yep, let's transition to that NFL. I got to ask you this. I like how you be answering questions about beef. So we got Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to go to NFL. Sorry, everybody. So the Kansas City Chiefs tight end, Travis Kelce, and the wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase, they exchanged pleasantries, as I say it, via Twitter. Basically, it was like, who's like the best quarterback in that division overall? You know, they say Mahomes, Ja'Marr Chase say who? And then throw out Joe Burrow, and then Travis Kelce's response is, don't disrespect Mahomes. I like it, because if you remember last year, Mahomes had the rings, right? He put the picture with the two rings.
It's like two backflips that slipped off the camera, but rings on there. So
wait. I got to throw the beef into it so you get the full spectrum of what's going on. So last year, if you remember, their tight end, the Cincinnati Bengals tight end, felt disrespected because Eric Reed for the Kansas City Chiefs was like, who is this player? Like, I don't even know who this dude is, talking about him. And you remember?
Yeah.
And they played each other in the playoffs. Didn't go that way for the Chiefs. They almost had it. They almost had it. Or not the Chiefs, the Bengals, they almost had it. But the Chiefs pulled away to go to the next Super Bowl. So, Cam, give me your what's going on with this beef? Because I like how this is stirring up. All right. I like it.
Do you want it? What aspect do you want it from? Do you
I
want
don't
it from
care.
A,
just,
like
just,
as a
just,
as a fan? Oh, I love it
fan,
as a fan.
As a fan and as just tell me from a fan whatever perspective you want to give.
I love it as a fan because these are two high profile people that are talking. You know what I mean? Like Ja'Marr Chase is really good, and so is Travis Kelce. So I love the battling. As a player on that team, so if I'm looking at it from, let's say I'm each quarterback, I don't care. I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm going to do my thing. Like, I don't care. But that's the older version of Cam. You know what I mean? You get older Cam, young Cam, who knows what might happen. But, like, I just don't care. And if I'm a player on the team whatsoever, I just don't care. I am like, I'm here. Honestly, I have the mentality of a veteran offensive lineman. That's
my
mentality.
You just don't care.
I'm here to protect the quarterback. I don't care about the trash talking. I'm here to do my job. Make sure you're safe so you're not on your back or your front. And guess what? At the end of the day, I'm going home to my wife and kids, and I don't care about anything else. I have a job to do, and that's it. And that's to make sure you're safe.
So, I like it. I hope they keep this energy when they get to the when they play each other in a regular season.
Yes, I agree.
That's all
as
I want.
Fan,
that's all I want.
Fan.
I just want, yeah, yeah. I just want
as
that
a
energy.
Fan, yes.
When y'all move forward, y'all have your games. Y'all circle each other. Everybody got that circle. You know what I mean? Because you circle whoever say something as you get to that part of the season. I hope keep that energy. That's all I want from y'all is to keep that energy. I want to see Travis Kelce score a touchdown and start trying to do the gritty and just to go at Chase, or Jamar Chase score a touchdown and start doing something to like mimic Travis Kelce. I just want to see it. I just want that energy, because I want them to keep it in the sporting realm. I don't want it to go out of the sporting realm. Obviously,
well, you know me, like I wanted Dylan Brooks to keep talking crap.
He was already beaten and battered and bruised. Keep talking.
If I'm telling you that this player that is like average basketball player to keep talking crap, you have people that are actually really good. Of course I want them to keep talking.
Yeah, cause I get you on this one. I can't get you on Dylan Brooks. He had to be quiet.
Go ahead, man.
Foot was all in the mouth and probably in his ass, too. This was the keeping it real moment going wrong for him. It was just gone wrong. Are you good with this one? Because there's one more I actually want to get to.
Yes.
We're going to skip the spin the wheel one. We're going to go to the last one. So, Cam, why are NFL players not learning from one another?
Because they dumb.
Bet on sporting events in general. Just don't bet in general.
Just because they dumb. Just the same reason. Like it's because they're young and they think they're invincible and they're dumb. And forget the betting portion. I'm talking about, like, remember what's his name? Ruggs that was speeding and
Henry Ruggs, and he murdered the young lady in the car. Yep, unfortunately.
And then all of a sudden we have people that keep speeding, they haven't learned, and people on that team that were doing
Hollywood Brown, Jacobs. Yeah.
So if they're not going to learn, they're not going to learn from what happened with somebody's life being taken away and then their whole career ending. Like, what makes you think they're going to learn over gambling for six games? Like, no, this is dumb.
Calvin Ridley just came back. That was a big one. He lost some real bread. You know, just got reinstated, got to a new team, hoping to turn his keep his career on the path that it was on before he unfortunately had it taken away. And it was $1,000 bet when you read into some of this stuff. It was just $1,000.
$1,000 prop bet.
Why are y'all doing? Why? Like, why?
They count $1,000 prop bet and over under in rushing yards by Colts running back, which he won.
I'm like, why, bro? Bro, why wouldn't you? I'm like, you about to make, what, 8, 10, 12, 15 times as much for a game check? Why would you care about that little thousand? Bruh, come on. I was like, bruh. And it was so many Detroit Lion players. It was like six of them.
And they're supposed to be the favorite in that division and go to the Super Bowl as well. Like, everybody has them pretty good. And why does Detroit do this to themselves? Why does Detroit do this to themselves? Every time they get like, hey, we have hope. Nope, we'll just self-destruct ourselves. Come on, Detroit.
Hold on real quick. I got the list. I remember this little list I saved. Hold on.
Yeah. You want me to read the names?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
All right, so we have Rashard Berry for the Indiana. Then we have Stanley Berry Hill for Detroit. Then we have Quinn's. C for us. I don't even know. Detroit. CJ Moore. Detroit. Nicholas Pitcher. I can't read. That's Tennessee.
Nicholas Pitt free to Tennessee. Yeah. Isaiah Rogers, Indianapolis. Demetrius Taylor. He was a free agent, so he didn't have a job, dog. He was looking for work and got fired on your day off, brother.
No.
Insane. You got, what is it? Shank?
Just a Washington player.
Tony. And then Jameson Williams, Detroit. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, a lot of these dudes ended up getting kicked off the team because they say indefinitely, which means they were released later. The ones that stayed on the team, Stanley Berry Hill, Detroit, six games. Nicholas Petty Ferry, Tennessee, six games. And Jameson Williams, Detroit, six games. Everyone else that I named but didn't rename, they all indefinitely kicked off the team. They got released. So don't do it, guys. Just stop. Like, you costing yourself more money by getting caught with this.
Yeah, just.
I can't believe they didn't learn. Like they're not going to keep investigating. Oh, they only caught him. They ain't going to catch us. They ain't going to catch none of us, dog. We good. Oh, they caught you? Oh, just don't say nothing to me. Oh, they caught me too? Oh, dang. I got to go see coach. Yeah, you gone. Don't worry about it. Just pack your stuff. Just get up out of here. Y'all gone indefinitely. Get on out of here. Do you want to do promotions after that laugh?
Yep, go ahead. Do promotions.
All right, so We're going to do promotions. You can find all these promotions on IG. Starting off with Bryce Sinclair at The Spicy Diaper for all your comedy needs. We got Rosemary Shipley at I Got Your Back Neural for all your massage therapy needs. We got Sean Tuck at Sean Tuck Music for your music needs. We got Darvell Williams at Darvell W Financial for all your life insurance needs. He's registered in Idaho and in California, so let me know if you need his contact information. We got Jay at Cuts by Jay out in Reno for a lineup, fade, whatever you need your hair cut or whatever. My man got you, beard trim, he got you. We got Jazz. You can use her at the Bookies app. If you need her contact information on the Bookies app, let me know. She can braid your hair, help you twist. Shout out to Jazz, and she's helping me and guiding me through this adventure of learning how to braid my own hair and my kids' hair and how to twist and hair care products to use to keep healthy hair. Yeah, your boy's going to learn it this summer. I told you I was, and so I'm going to get on. We got Anna Slusher at Anna Slusher. She's a photographer and co-founder of FKA Magazine. You can find their magazine at www.fkamagazine.com. If you're an LA artsy person, photography, painting, modeling, hit her up. You guys can work together, shooting and all that other stuff. We got Juan Pina at JP_exclusive pics. Cam, he's still on fire. He's still doing his thing. Y'all need to go ahead and hit my man up if y'all want some sports betting tips and information. Go ahead, Cam.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 111. I just like saying the ones. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll catch you all. Oh, Herb, any last like nice words before we leave?
Yeah, I do have some nice words. Lakers in five. No, real talk, for all y'all that's dealing with a lot in your life, some stress, some stuff like that, I want y'all to take time for yourself, get your mind right. It ain't the end of the world when things go bad. It's just, you know, sometimes you got to go through trials and tribulations, as they call it, and be victorious at the end of it. But I just want you, everybody, keep your head up. I know sometimes it can be stressful in life. Just keep your head up. All right, Cam, go ahead.
Well, that was nice, Herb. I want to say, if going through hell, keep on going. That's all I got to say.
You got to keep going through the hell, man.
Keep on going. You'll eventually get out of there.
No, it's seven layers of hell. It's like a bean dip.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a bean dip. What?
You got seven
what
layers.
What the hell are you in a bean dip?
You got a seven layer. That's like a dip. You got to just keep going through. All right, go ahead, Cam. For real, take us out.
I'll catch you all next time. Make sure you make somebody smile. All right, bye.
Nice work.